What's up? This is Movies On Up, existing soon. I'm Dave, joined by my existing...
I'm not sure how to help you with that.
God damn it. Fuck you, Alexa. You haven't done this in weeks. What's up? This is Movies On Up, existing soon. I'm Dave, joined by my existent co-host, Mike Mann, this week.
That's me.
Ryan, Mr. Ryan is incapacitated with a family wedding, so Mr. Mike Mann
is... I don't know that that's the word I'd use for that.
His hot sister is getting married, so he's gone for the week.
All right.
Mike Mann, we'll address the elephant in the room. News episodes on a little bit of a break while we retool. Reformat, figure it out. We will be back with news episodes, I think.
Yeah,
we just got to figure out what we want to do with them. So thanks for the feedback and thanks for listening. If there's anything you want to hear on news episodes, let us know. For this week, though, tagline, existing soon. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup, which we have been trying to get better about posting episodes.
Moral of the story, once I stop being a busy, crappy college kid, we'll be better at all this.
Yeah, yeah, we're working on it. But this week, we continue our Halloween festivities.
And speaking of crappy college kids.
Ah, yeah. Slutty everything. Can't wait for the slutty Bernie Sanders is this year. Slutty Bobby Jindals. I'd actually like that, though. But, it's we're continuing our Halloween. This week, a little bit of an audible. We pimped our Halloween episodes earlier this month, Ryan and I, and we did dedicate this week to Blair Witch Project and Willow Creek. Because Paranormal Activity, the whatever dimension, comes out this week. So, it's a bit of a found footage week. We did audible it. This is our Blair Witch Project episode. In a couple of days, we'll do our Paranormal Activity episode, which I'm interested to see, because what I'm interested in is because Mike Mann and I are essentially different generations. There's a good 10-some-year age gap.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to bet our opinions on found footage and these two movies is probably going to differ. But before we dig into Blair Witch Project, this is where Ryan always goes over box office.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to pretend you're him.
Okay. So on Blair Witch Project, on a release date of July 16th, 1999, a production budget of only $60,000 opened with a wide opening weekend of $29,207,381 in just over 1,000 theaters, and a lifetime gross, or domestic total gross, of $140,539,099.
Which, up until, I believe, Paranormal Activity broke that record, but it was, for the longest time, it was the biggest profit. It was the...
Paranormal Activity, the original, doesn't eclipse that.
Okay, because I know it was almost $150 million on a less than $1 million budget. Pretty impressive.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But... what I do want to do is, since there is this age difference, this movie is what, 1998? 99. Yep. What's your memory of the first time you saw Blair Witch?
Oh, man. I was junior high, so like 2007.
Okay, so about 8 years after it came out.
Yeah.
Thoughts on VHS or at a friend's house? How'd you watch it the first time?
Friend's house. This was like, we're going to watch scary movies. And we had, like, loosely heard of things in school that were like, man, the Blair Witch Trials were crazy. The Blair Witch Project's so scary. You won't even want to watch it alone. So, we're like, you know what? Let's just watch it. Get together, group of my friends. Just guys being dudes. You know, watched it. Bunch of guys. There was no girls there. We didn't have girlfriends yet. We were pretty lame in, like, 7th grade. But, yeah, that's it. And we're all like, this is all right.
Like, it didn't do anything to you, right? It didn't make an impression. Because you had to rewatch it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I've seen the movie once when it came out, probably around July 16th, 1999. Like, I went, opening night to this movie.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before on the podcast. This I put up as one of my favorite movie-going experiences ever.
Oh, wow.
For the experience.
Okay.
Because you're much younger. I don't know if you remember that there used to be a time where the internet wasn't everywhere.
Yeah.
You couldn't just Google something.
That was like third grade for me.
Yeah. So when this movie came out, this was before that. So this was, yeah, there was the internet, but it wasn't as widespread as it is now. So when you have these commercials on TV saying, like, based on the found tapes and stuff, like,
this is just discovered footage.
Yeah, yeah. So when it sold as found footage, it was a cool marketing thing because nothing had been marketed like that before. Like, yeah. Found footage wasn't a thing. And it seemed kind of cool. So I went opening night. A lot of people did because the theater was packed.
I believe that.
And it was one of the coolest movie-going experiences because when it was over, it was almost just like everybody was like, Is that for real? For real? Or is that a movie? Like,
is this fake? Is this real? What is this?
Because there was just enough doubt there because you didn't just have the internet in the palm of your hand that what did we just watch? Because they didn't overdo it.
Yeah.
It's very, very subtle movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a slow burn. Like, I think it's scary in the right mood.
Yeah.
I think it's just the idea of being out in the woods lost, you know, just three people is kind of frightening. And then I think the tent scene is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing with these, with found footage movies. The buildup at that tent scene to where it just, you feel like something's going to happen. And then it's just like hands going across it.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying.
I mean, that's by far the scariest part of the movie.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And just to bring it up now, like we were going to talk Willow Creek later this week. We kind of audibled because they're the same movie. Willow Creek was
the
Bobcat Goldthwait movie that came out just last year, the year before. They're looking for Bigfoot. And it's the same kind of thing, except I feel like the tent scene in Willow Creek is way better, only because it builds up so much. It's like five times as long.
Yeah, so it really draws like, you in a lot like more. Yeah,
it gets you to the point where you're waiting for something to happen, and then you get convinced that nothing is going to happen, and then it happens. Both movies very much the same. Group of people go to the woods. For Blair Witch, they're making a movie, and that's why I think the found footage worked in this movie.
It's much more convincing.
It's convincing. But let's talk a little bit about the movie. You did rewatch it. What were your thoughts watching it like recently as a 20-some-year-old dude?
Besides the fact that it feels a lot more dated now, obviously, production-wise, and, like, the footage itself made me feel like I was watching, like, a childhood VHS. But in part, that's the part that still kind of carries over to make it scary today, still as a 20-something-year-old dude, sort of.
Yeah, and that's what, like, what's the movie? They're all the same to me. The one with the guy where the kids killed people, is that Sinister?
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke one.
Yeah.
That's what they try to do is have that like grainy feel for the, but it just all feels digital.
Yeah, when it's real, you know.
Yeah.
And it gives you that kind of not vintage feel, but like this is genuinely real feel.
And I mean, I like what it does because it's on a $60,000 budget. So it's very, very small scale.
Yeah.
And when you're on that small scale, like I often talk about like foreign horror movies compared to American horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
American horror movies throw stuff in for the body count, where foreign movies, it'll be less body count, but the deaths matter more.
Yeah.
I thought Blair Witch did a good job of that. You only have the three characters you're focusing on, but you get to know them.
And they're like, it's important that you know them.
Yeah, and they're not all really likable, but you get invested. You imagine yourself trapped in this kind of situation with them.
Which you don't get out of many movies or anything, really. It's hard for you to still become attached to characters that aren't really likable.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the one dude's a dick, but you're rooting for him because you're picturing yourself there with them. And
even if you are a dick in real life,
if he gets out, you get out.
Yep.
Essentially, so I think the scares are good. I think they're very subtle. They may be a little few and far between. It didn't rush anything. The tension build up amongst them, I thought was kind of cool, like among the three.
Yeah, it definitely gives you more kind of a depth to it compared to, you know, a lot of found footage films, especially are like, here are these people, here's what they're doing, this is what happened.
And it's, and you're brought in because it is the film. Like, they're filming for a reason.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that in a minute, because this is going to, you know, it's going to transition into what Blair Witch did at four movies, or what it gets credit for that didn't, I don't know. We'll get into that in a second, but it falls apart at the end. Like, it's almost, and this is a common theme with especially found footage movies.
Yeah.
Willow Creek, the ending is just as bad.
Maybe worse.
Paranormal Activity, we'll get to it. It's a really bad ending. A lot of these found footage have the idea, but then the sustaining it for a full feature length and then ending it.
That's where they all go wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, this one, it was terrifying. I thought the ending was creepy.
Yeah.
But it happened so fast, then it's just done.
And that's what, this was almost one of the rare found footage movies that you could have used a little bit extra length to flesh out some of the ending details. I mean, it was only like, you know, what, an hour and 26 minutes, I think?
Yeah.
Which, compared to other movies, is pretty short. Like, even in the found footage realm.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, my cutoff is 90 minutes. Like, I think if you're less than 90 minutes, I want a little bit more than 90 minutes. I don't think it's fair to release anything wide that's less than 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's a quality 86 minutes. And like I said, I've only seen it the once, but I still remember, you know, them arguing over the map. I remember the tent scene. Like, I remember the ending. So it made an impression. And just the reaction of that crowd was amazing, because it was a large group of people. Seeing it on the big screen was kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
And you're surrounded by people that are all wondering, what did we just watch?
And I think that sort of experience definitely would improve the impact it would leave. I mean, I watched it, three of my friends in a basement the first time. We were all like, bro, whoa, what's happening, man? And then I watched it most recently on my iPad, laying in bed. So, I mean, I didn't have that sort of, like, you know, crowd reaction around me, or that big of a screen or environment, which I think in these movies specifically is, you know,
it's huge.
Almost 100% of the, you know, movie impact.
And it's the kind of thing where, you know, they do midnight showings and stuff. If there was a midnight showing of this somewhere nearby,
oh yeah,
I would absolutely go.
Yep.
If
they brought this back as, like, one of those Halloween feature films,
exactly,
kind of thing.
Because I do think it's a good movie. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You say it's dated, and I get that. I understand that, but
Every movie's dated.
At some point, yeah. At its core, I think it's really, really good. But what I find interesting is that this really didn't, it was made for $60,000, and it made $150 million. In Hollywood, that is the kind of thing people eat up. But this really didn't kick off a giant found footage phase. This was kind of the Randall...
This movie didn't, no.
No, this was kind of the Randall Cunningham. Like, Randall Cunningham's this quarterback with a strong arm, and he's athletic, he can run, and he's having success, and but he's really the only one like that. Like, he's not, there's not this influx of quarterbacks that can run a 4.4 and
at that time
and have a rocket. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not until later that Mike Vick comes around,
and then everybody's like, "Well, we need a, like, fast quarterback.
We have to have an athletic quarterback." So you have the 40 times for quarterbacks never mattered at the combine.
Yep.
Ever. Even during Randall Cunningham's time, nobody tried to mimic that. That Mike Vick has success, and it's like, so Paranormal Activity is essentially the Mike Vick of these two movies is the point I'm making. But it's just weird because Hollywood is such a copycat industry. Why didn't this? Why wasn't there an influx right away?
I think it had to be. Could you make? It's almost like an intimidation factor. Can you make something on that low of a budget and still have that sort of success? And if you don't, do you consider it success?
Yeah, and I guess here's part of my point is not only is it not get mimicked and not get ripped off, its own sequel strayed from the formula.
Which is a garbage sequel.
Oh, yeah. It's a terrible sequel. It's sequel in name only because you have this opportunity. You could just have a new group of kids that want to go out in the woods because they saw this movie. And you can up the scares, up the budget, up the gore. You can make the same movie, just crank it up a couple notches. It would be a hit.
Yeah.
They didn't go that route. And they had a bomb.
One of the worst bombs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that... It's just so weird to me that this... Because Paranormal Activity came around in 2009. And we'll talk about more the influx after that. But, I mean, there were a couple in between. Like, Cloverfield was in between. It got a wide release before Paranormal Activity's wide release.
Yeah.
And the thing is with Cloverfield is it tried to do what would have been way more successful if Paranormal Activity had done. Cloverfield yes. tried to have, like, Facebook, MySpace pages for the characters that have friends and friends of friends that you can stumble across them and make them feel like real people.
Which is what drew me into Cloverfield at my age I was at. Because yeah. that's that same, you know, I was on MySpace and, you know, girls I liked would set up my about me's. And, like, that stuff was like, whoa, this is real. This is something that could happen to anybody.
See, and that's what they tried, where I feel it would have been a lot more successful 8 years ago when you had that air of doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you like Cloverfield.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
And this is a Paranormal Activity episode, but it came up, like, and screw it, it's a monster movie. I hate that movie so much. I hate, because you know what the biggest problem with found footage movies to me is?
What?
And we'll get more into it about that. If you don't have a reason to film, I am not in it. If you give me a cockney, half-cocked idea why you're filming, I lose interest immediately.
Yeah.
TJ Miller holding the camera as he's walking between skyscrapers? No, why?
That's the last thing you're gonna do.
Like, yeah, exactly. And I get, okay, the party scene, the Statue of Liberty head, fantastic. That's cool found footage because you're filming the party.
It's reasonable.
But from there, the subway, the skyscrapers.
It's like a bad documentary.
Getting eaten by a monster. Like, the stuff like that, I hate. Because if you're so concerned about filming while you're bouncing around on skyscrapers, like Eddie Murphy and Golden Child. Like,
you're trying too hard.
Yeah, if you clearly don't care whether you live or die, why should I? I don't care how hot you are, Odette Yozman or whatever your name is. But that's my biggest beef with Cloverfield. I hate that movie. I like so many people in that movie, but I hate that movie so much. I loved the marketing of it because I wanted another Blair Witch.
Yeah.
And that was the first time, this is 8 years later, 9 years later, that I felt like I was getting that.
A respectable attempt, at least.
I was there opening night by myself. I didn't have anybody to go with. I still went because I was so amped for this movie. I don't walk out of a lot of movies. I didn't walk out of this. I was very, very close. But yeah, it wasn't Blair Witch. It wasn't everything that should be good about found footage. I feel like Cloverfield lacked. I feel like it didn't have.
Cloverfield was the movie that I was in high school at the time. Or no. Yeah, I was a freshman in high school. And that was the movie that, boom, one friend went and saw, and then the next weekend, everybody we knew went and saw it. We were like, whoa, yeah, check out the MySpace pages, bro. This is wild. Like, you guys got to go see this.
And maybe that was your Blair Witch. Maybe that's why it matters more to you, because you were young and dumb, and there might have been that point in your mind that's like, this might be real. Like, I haven't read about the Statue of Liberty's head being thrown down the street, but I don't read the news all the time.
Paranormal Activity was the Blair Witch for my generation, absolutely. But this was like a nice intro.
It was, okay.
This is what made you respect found footage stuff in my generation.
And I'm going off of memory. Like, I don't remember a lot of found footage around this time.
It wasn't until after Paranormal Activity where it was just a shit. Because
Cloverfield
storm.
Came out, and I don't think it was a massive hit.
No, could be wrong. No, it was just like crappy kids my age that thought MySpace pages were fake were dope.
Like, I mean, I did no research for this episode, but I feel like it didn't really boom until Paranormal Activity, and then we got the boom that we should have seen, I thought, with
well, they Cloverfield didn't really get... It's hard to say, because it wasn't really sold, like, to kids my age. It wasn't really sold as found footage as much. It was sold as, like, a hand camera movie, which we didn't correlate to found footage. We just
because there wasn't, it wasn't just another found footage movie.
It was correlated to more like, wow, this is a really unique way for them to shoot a movie. And people are like, whoa, you know, maybe that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Cloverfield, though, 40 million opening weekend, 80 million lifetime. So
on about a, what, 12 million budget? Was it that high?
25, actually.
Oh, it was that high? Okay.
25, yeah.
And, I mean, they had J.J. Abrams' name behind, or Abrams, or, yeah, Abrams was, yeah, his J. J. name Abrams. Was behind it.
Matt Reeves.
Matt Reeves has turned that into a pretty awesome career. Like, that dude.
Surprisingly enough.
Yeah, he's that dude, and that's what makes me more mad in retrospect, because like something like Let Me In and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, they're beautiful movies, or Rise, whatever the second one was that he directed.
Dawn of Planet of the Apes was the one he directed.
They're beautiful movies. They're fantastic from a visual standpoint. And you would tell me you wasted a giant monster movie? You wasted like what could have been this generation's Godzilla? You have this masterful filmmaker, and you wasted it on T.J. Miller holding a goddamn handy cam? Like, I just don't... That makes me so angry.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that.
And here's the thing with Cloverfield. I complain that Blair Witch, the sequel, could have just been another Blair Witch project. It could have been the same thing, just a different group of people in the woods.
Yeah.
I wanted Cloverfield to do what Blair Witch did. I wanted a second Cloverfield that took place on the same night with different people that was just shot
from like, a different way.
Yeah, not by T.J. Miller. A
different story.
Yeah, just made as a regular movie. So, I don't hate found footage as a thing that exists. I hate the overuse of found footage.
Or the improper utilization of it.
And I feel like Cloverfield, massive misuse of it. A movie that I don't know if you like. I assume you do because I hate it. Chronicle.
I hate that movie.
I hate that movie so much. We did a whole episode about it.
It's garbage, man.
Because Ryan, like, that one makes even less sense because it's like, oh, he's documenting his life. What? No. No, you're not. You're being a douche.
Yeah, see that? And that's how I felt about that whole movie. It was like, ugh.
And the thing is that's another one that makes me mad. Michael B. Jordan's a movie star. He's so good in that movie. Dane DeHaan gives this really, really good performance. It's a great supervillain-like origin story, but it's garbage.
You want me to blow your mind with a little fact out of nowhere real quick?
Yeah.
That is still, believe it or not, the highest Michael B. Jordan grossing film.
That doesn't surprise me. He hasn't really done a blockbuster. He attempted with Fantastic Four. We know how that went. Because that brought in, what, about 120?
Chronicle?
Yeah.
64.
Oh, okay. And Creed will beat that. I have no doubt in my mind Creed will beat that this year. But, which is good, because that kid's a star. Like, and he's made some trash, but he's good in everything.
I'd say Creed has it, yeah. I'd say Creed has a chance to beat that.
Yeah, but,
Fantastic Four, only at 56.
Yeah, on like a 150 budget. But yeah, they could have that movie could have taken some lessons. And that movie, even Fantastic Four, there was talk of like, oh, we're gonna throw found footage feeling in it because it was directed by Josh Trank.
It might not have hurt it.
I don't know that anything could have done it worse. But that's our Blair Witch episode. We ran out of stuff to say about Blair Witch about 15 minutes ago. We kind of covered found footage from Blair Witch to Cloverfield, and that's about it. And then we'll cover more found footage with our Paranormal Activity episode later this week. Next week we come back. Ryan and I, we do a Monster Squad episode and then a very special Halloween episode that I'm actually excited for. We just read our favorite stories from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which I think it'll be pretty interesting. I'm excited to see what Ryan does because he actually edits stuff and produces stuff where I just hit record and put it up. But thank Mr. Mike Mann for filling in this week.
That's me.
You can find him on the Twitter at your Mike Mann, your man Mike, at your man Mike.
It's so catchy, it's hard to say, you know?
Yeah. And I'm Dave Bacella at Dave Bacella on Twitter. Hit us up, moviesonup.com, moviesonup at gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, and Twitter at moviesonup. We forgot to promote Film Ball as heavily as we wanted to. If you have not got your fantasy Film Ball picks in, go ahead and send them in. We'll extend the deadline to the end of this week. We'll tweet and get that rules page up a little bit more because we have not given you enough opportunity. But yeah, join Fantasy Film Ball and join us in a couple of more days where we look at 2007 or 9's 2007 May 2009 wide release Paranormal Activity. But until then,
keep it up.